What do you think are the most painful experiences that people go through in life? Now, you might be thinking about that in a couple of different ways. Some people would think about, when you talk about a painful experience, some would think of a physical pain. Maybe they messed up a limb or some physical aspect of the body. But there's also pain that people go through when it comes down to, you know, emotional type pain. Things that are going on inside them. Now, I want you to think about those things for just a few moments as we get into our scripture today. But why are such painful experiences a true test of my faith and your faith? Listen, grab your Bible, come on back. We're going to look at the I Know My Redeemer Lives out of the book of Job, chapter 19. Come on back. We'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We trust that your day has gone well. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Job, chapter 19. So if you've got your Bible there, go ahead and turn on over with me to that particular passage. Job is one of those books that many people throughout life today will recount. They will call and say, oh man, I've heard expressions people say, man, that guy had the patience of Job or had the stamina of Job. And we, when we think about Job's life and we think about the things that he went through, Job went through a lot of experiences, and those experiences were essentially allowed by the hand of God. Now, that's a key thing. Don't miss out on that. You know, as you started into, the book of Job, if you read it from the beginning, you know, it talks about Satan, you know, going about to and fro, and it has an audience with God. And he says, have you considered my buddy down here, Job? And so Satan essentially goes back, tries to cause Job to fall, to stumble. And Job's life was going very, very well at that particular point. You know, Job, matter of fact, the word tells us that Job was the type of guy that he would offer up sacrifices for his children just in case they had sinned, not knowing that they had or anything, but just in case they had. Job loved his family, loved his children. He would offer sacrifices to the Almighty for the remission of sins. And remember, this is Old Testament day. When there were still animal sacrifices. So he would do these things. I mean, life was good. Job was a fellow that by the standards of that day would be considered to be a wealthy individual. He had livestock. He had his family around him. And all was most right in the world for him at that particular point. And then what happens is, you know, Satan can't make Job fall. So once again, he's seen up there around heaven. I'm going to say around. I'm not going to say in because sin can't enter heaven. But anyway, he was where God could see and where he could gain an audience with God Almighty. And when God saw him, he said, well, hey, did you consider my servant Job? And Satan's like, well, yeah. He says, but man, the way you look after him, the way your hand protects him, the way your hand covers him, there's no way he would turn his back on you. And then, of course, at that point is when essentially Satan gets permission from God to do anything that he wants to Job, with the exception of taking his life, to see if he would turn his back on the Almighty. That's a pretty broad spectrum right there. And we know what happened. We know that Job essentially lost his family. He lost his wealth. He's lost his health. Everything went from being on the very, very top to being the very, very lowest rung. It's probably the lowest point that Job had ever experienced in his life. The word tells us that he was covered from head to toe with boils. I mean, I can't imagine what that must have been like. You can't lay down, you can't sit down. There's no way that you can get comfortable. And he's going through this just troublesome experience in his life, not only emotionally, but physically as well. Remember what I said, you know, when we started off our Bible study, when we were talking about pain. And most of us, when we think of pain, we think of something physical. But Job was going through physical pain, but he was also going through an extreme emotional pain in regard to the losses that had taken place. He had lost everything. He went from a wealthy man with a family and all being right with the world to essentially losing his children, losing his livestock, and he was in so much pain that he couldn't do anything. I mean, he was just miserable. Now, Job also had these three friends. Now, we give these three friends a hard time in the religious spectrum at times, but there were these three friends that came to Job, and they said, well, Job, there must be something in your life. You must have sinned some way or at some point in your life, and that's the reason why these things are taking place. Now, Job, was sitting there going through his life, and he's sitting there going, no, to my knowledge, I don't have any unrepented or unconfessed sins before God Almighty. And yet the three friends kept on just, saying, hey, you need to repent and everything will be fine. And Job kept telling them, I can't think of anything I need to repent of. Now, let me pause there for just a moment. That didn't mean that Job was perfect. It just meant that there wasn't anything that he knew of in his life that was unrepented that could have been causing a situation like the loss of his family, his wealth, and his health. And yet Job was a man of God. Now, I say we give these three friends a hard time because they kept saying to Job, obviously it was something you've done or you wouldn't be in this situation. Well, Job, on the other hand, said, no, there's not anything that I know of. There's nothing that I'm being led to know that this is where I need to repent. None of those things. And I said, yeah, you got to give these three guys credit in this regard. They loved Job. They were true friends to Job. They cared enough about him that they journeyed there to be with him. They sat with him for several days, and their heart was in the right place. Well, the problem was they were touting the wrong thing to Job. They weren't seeing those things. They just didn't understand where he was. So now when we get to the passages that we're going to look at today in the book of Job chapter 19, where at this point where Job is kind of giving some description of himself. You're getting to see, and I'm just going to use the word heinality of the situation and the condition that he's in and how he is being looked at and how he is being viewed. I guess some people might say, well, this is pity party time. This is when Job, but he was just being honest with where he was. So if you've got your Bible, look with me, if you would, at Job chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading at verse 13. Job chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading at verse 13. It says, now this is Job speaking. He has removed my brothers far from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have failed, and my close friends have forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I call my servant, but he gives no answer. I beg him with my mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife, and I am repulsive to the children of my own body. Even young children despise me. I arise, and they speak against me. All my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. My bone clings to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me. Have pity on me. O you, my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. Verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're thankful for your word. And Lord, we're thankful that regardless of what our circumstances are, what our situations may be, that you never, ever leave us nor forsake us. Father, as we look at Job's life and as we look at the experiences that he was going through, I know that there are people who are viewing this that probably can understand. They've been where Job is, whether physically, whether emotionally, but they've been in despair. Father, maybe there's somebody that's listening to this message right now that finds themselves in that place. Lord, may we draw courage and strength from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to each and every heart as we spend these moments in your word. Bless your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be heard, that the Holy Spirit would be heard through the voice of this, your servant. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at those particular passages, we see that Job, and he's addressing his friends, he's addressing those around him, and he's talking about the position of where he is. He's saying, man, everybody has failed me. Everybody's turned their back against me. Nobody wants to hear me. I am repulsive to everybody around me. And he was going through some painful experiences in both ways, both emotionally as well as physically. And these three friends are sitting there trying to say, hey, you know, you just need to repent and all will be right with the world. And Job is expressing, you know, to them, I don't really know what there is to repent about. So in our story, Job was passing through many painful experiences, but he continued to profess his faith in God. Did you notice that? He did not let that slide by one single bit in the midst of all of it. Now, there's a passage, and we glorify this in religious circles so many times where we say, well, in the word it says that Job made the statement, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And Job did make that statement. But that wasn't just because he was this humble servant along the way. Job didn't like where he was. And folks, I know that some of you are in those situations right now. You can understand that. You don't like where you are. In fact, Job may have even been a little bit miffed, and I'll use that word rather than angry, but he may have been a little miffed at God as to why he was having to go through all these things, maybe a lot like you are as you're hearing this message. But yet, Job basically said this. He said, I'm going to tell God how I feel about this situation. And if he kills me, then he kills me. What have I got to lose? Because, man, I'm in just a bad situation right now. That's that scripture that says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Job said, I'm going to tell God how I feel about this situation in no uncertain terms. I'm going to let him know I don't like it. And you know what? If he kills me, so be it. But if not, I'm not turning my back on him. You got to get that part of it. He kept professing his faith in God, even through the darkest nights, even through the deepest valleys. Job never turned his back on God. Now, you know, in addition, you know, to the loss of his children and his wealth, there were the other painful experiences that Job describes in verses 13 through 24. He's even talking about his physical condition. He's referring to how his friends that are there aren't believing what it is that he's saying. There's just a whole lot of things that are going on in Job's life right now. And I can imagine what that must have been like as those guys would come, and they were trying the best because they loved him to get a point or a message across to him. And Job's like, oh, here we go again. Another, just what else is going to happen? I know we've been at points in our life where we've sat back and said, well, what else can go wrong? Don't ever ask that question, because when you do, you're going to find out just how wrong things can go. Think about this for a moment. How does it feel when even those who we thought as intimate friends turn against us and betray us? You know, that's one of the things that's often been said through life, and it's found out to be very true, that there is no betrayal quite like the betrayal of a close, trusted, intimate friend. Some of you that are listening to this have experienced that before. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So in the midst of everything else that's going on, Job feels like his intimate friends have also turned against him and have also betrayed him. And not only just his closest friends, he even starts mentioning family in there. You know, he's saying that even his breath was offensive to his wife, and that his own children essentially appeared to be against him along the way. So this guy's got a lot of pain going on, both physically as well as emotionally. Now, when you and I have a friend or somebody in our life that's going through a painful experience, it is incredibly important for us to draw near and close to them during that time. Now, I'm not saying to be judgmental like his friends were in this particular position, but often what happens is when we go through those tough times and we look around and we see, well, you know, where are our friends? And we start to get upset inside. And it's like, well, why won't they come and talk to me? Why won't they sit down with me? I see this happen a lot in our current society when maybe somebody has lost a loved one, a spouse, or somebody very close to them. And you just don't know what to say to them. So what people do is they choose not to say anything. And of course, that's looked at in a completely different perspective from the person who needs you in their life at that particular point. So when your friends are going through painful experiences, whether physical or emotional, it is important for you to draw near and dear to him or her while they're going through those circumstances and situations, to let them know you haven't abandoned them, you're there for them, you're going to be praying for them. So often, I've heard those words said. I remember many years ago, it was a lady in the church whose husband had passed away, and it was a new deacon, a real young new deacon. Actually, he went with myself and the associate pastor to the house to be with the family during that time. And you know, it was maybe several weeks later that the widow lady actually went up to this young deacon and said, "I just wanted to thank you so much, you know, for being there when my husband passed away." And he was just shocked. He came back and he talked to me and he said, "I don't understand it." He said, "I never said a word. You were the one that was doing all the talking. I never said anything, but yet she thanked me." And I said, "You know what? Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes just being there means more to people than you will ever know. They know that you're walking that trail with them, that you're there for them, that you want to be that godly support in their lives." So folks, when you have friends that are going through these incredibly painful experiences, don't turn your back on them. Don't walk away. Don't sit back and say, "Well, I just don't know what to say." You know, just be the friend that you are to them, that's close to them already. And sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes a hug goes a whole lot further than with words that may come out of your mouth. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say when they're time to say those words. Now, when somebody that we know and love is passing through those difficult times, what are some of the things that we can do to show our love and support during those times? Well, one of them I mentioned just a moment ago. It's about being able to just be there with them. You know, sometimes it's not saying anything. It's just saying, "I'm here for you." Sometimes it's just a hug. Sometimes it's just to let them know. You know, and please just do one thing. When somebody's going through times like that, if it's not something that you've ever been through, please don't say the words, "I know what you're going through," or "I understand what you're going through," because you don't. Those words can almost be offensive when you use them in that manner. There have been times in my life when I've said, "You know what? I don't understand what you're going through, but because you are hurting, I'm hurting for you." Folks, yeah, be very careful what you say in that regard. And sometimes it's better just not to say anything, but be there. Don't just decide, "Well, I'll check them out in 6 months or a couple years or whatever." Be there to love them. Be there to support them. Can you think about a time in your life when somebody was there for you? You went through a tough time and then maybe there was a knock on your door, maybe there was a telephone call, a text message or whatever, and somebody spent some time with you. Somebody reached out to you in the midst of your tough situation and brought sunshine into your life. You know, whether they said the right thing, whether they said anything, maybe they just come up and gave you a hug. Maybe they split a stick of gum with you or what have you. And some of you will understand that particular relation. It's not about money. It's not about those things. But it's about being able to try to ease the pain the best way that we possibly can. You know, even as Job was recounting all the pain that he was going through, he made a very, very powerful profession of faith in verse 25. Look with me, if you would, at verse 25 of our text. It says this, I love this verse. It says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." Do you get that? I know that my Redeemer lives. You know what? I am a blood-bought, born-again Christian. And no matter what this life on this earth throws at me, there's going to be coming a time when I'm going to be able to look upon the face of the Savior, where everything is right, where everything is perfect, where there is no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more pain. So in the middle of our situation, can we say what Job said? Can we truly look and say, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." Can you say that? Is that what your strength, is that what your faith, and is that what your hope is built in? Think about those for a minute. Those are powerful words that he spoke. Now, when we think about it, in what ways is God our Redeemer? And when will God stand on the earth? You know, think about those things for a minute. You know, my Redeemer, I have trusted in Christ. I've given my life to him. I am no longer mine, but I am his. And because of his shed blood, he has redeemed me from my sins. He is my Redeemer. He's got a plan for my life. He is walking every step of my life. Every one of them has been ordered by him. So when I get into those dark valleys and those dark nights of my life, I know that my Savior is walking through them with me. I know that he is there. I know that there's a reason why these things are taking place. Now, we may not know what God's reasons are on this side of glory. We may not know till we get to see him face to face. But I will promise you that everything that is happening in your life is for a reason. And it's not always to punish you. Sometimes it's so God can teach us some things, so he can move us to where he wants us to be. Sometimes the lesson is for the others that are watching us go through these particular times in our lives, the particular hardships that we're going through. But Job was, there was no doubt in his heart and in his mind when he said that. He said, "I know, not I think, I know that my Redeemer lives." Man, what a blessed piece of scripture that is, when we can take it to heart in the same way that Job did. Now, think about this, and this is what we often, you know, gather around. Well, what if God didn't heal Job physically? You know, what if God just decided to let Job go through that for the, you know, for the rest of his life? You know, see, even if God did not choose to heal Job physically, he says something about what his eyes are going to see. Let's go to verses 26 and 27, because in verse 26, he says this. He says, "And after my skin is destroyed, this I know." Did you get that again? "This I know." Let me go back to 26. "After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within." Did you see what he's saying there? He said, you know what, even though this old body right here, it's looking tattered, it's looking beaten, even though it hurts from one end to the other, let me tell you something I know. He said, "I am going to see God Almighty in my flesh," that new body. Remember what Jesus tells us in the New Testament, that we're going to be given a new body? He says that in my flesh, I shall see God. Do we look for those things in life? Is that what we're looking for? Are we looking for the time when we will come into the kingdom, when we will see God Almighty face to face, when we're given that new body? You know what? This earth right here is just for a short time. In fact, the word tells us that our life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away compared to eternity. The word also tells us that that one day in heaven is as 1,000 years on earth. So think about that relative to loved ones that have gone on to be with our Lord and Savior in heaven. Before they even blink their eyes and hardly turn around, you and I are going to be there with them. See, in times of suffering, there were ways that Job gives us an example to follow. Remember, as we go through our scriptures, we look for things that can be examples for us to follow. When we look at Job's life, even amidst his suffering, he wasn't lashing out at people. He stayed at his heart. He stated his mind. But yet at the same time, he never gave up on God. Man, how many times today do I hear of people sitting back saying, well, I'll tell you one thing, if God really loved me, he wouldn't put me through this. If God was a loving Savior, he wouldn't allow this to happen or allow that to happen. Folks, we're looking at it in the wrong way. We have to look at it and say, there's a plan and there's a purpose for what's taking place and what's going on. We need to pray, God, teach me what I need to know through what's going on, through the suffering. And remember what Jesus told us. Jesus said that you and I are going to suffer for his sake while we're here. And remember what Paul said. He said, I count it a joy to suffer for the sake of the Savior, because this world hates him. Now, we're not sitting there going, oh, goody, goody, let's line up and find out in ways that we can bring upon ourselves to suffer for him. No. Trust me when I tell you, the suffering's going to happen all on its own. It'll find a way, because Satan's going to attack you hard, fast, and continuously as you follow the Lord. Are you following the Lord today? Is there spiritual suffering, maybe even physical suffering, that is going on in your life? You know, we can look at the book of Job, and Job gives us a great example to follow by not ever turning our back on the Savior. Ever. Don't turn your back on him. Even when things seem so low, even when you don't understand the why of something, you can always count on the fact that God is in control. God has a plan for your life, and none of that has escaped him. I promise you that. He will be there for you. It is important for our faith to be tested. Why is it important for our faith to be tested? So that we will make sure that we understand and know what the answers are. You know, it's kind of like in school. You know, what if there was no test? I know that there's a lot of people who would sit back and say, well, I wish there wouldn't have been tests when I was there. You see, it's to see whether or not you really absorbed the information. So there are times in our lives when God allows our faith to be tested. There are going to be times when you're going to cry out to God and you're not going to hear the answer. But what's happening, that doesn't mean he's not answering you. That means you might be in a holding period. That might mean that you might have to be waiting on what it is that God has for you. It's not that he's abandoned you, because remember what he said. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There are times when the Lord is quiet, but when he is quiet, we're still to be about loving him, praising him, and going about his business on this earth. It is important that our faith be tested. Has your faith been tested? What sort of a faith test are you going through now? Or what sort of faith test have you had in the past? You know, what do trials prove about our faith? You know, one way or another, when a trial comes up in your life, it is going to prove something about your faith. It's going to prove whether or not you're trusting in Christ or whether you're not. It's going to prove whether you're trusting in him or whether you're trusting in yourself. Yeah, win, lose, or draw, whether it turns out the way you want it to turn out or whether it turns out completely opposite of the way that you want it to turn out. The question is, did you trust God in the midst of that trial? Did you trust God that when the answer wasn't what you wanted it to be, that you were all right with saying, okay, Lord, here am I, send me. Whatever happens, happens, but I know that it's part of your plan. I want you to think about this. What happens when our faith is tested and it is proven to be genuine? I want to share some passages with you out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, which says this. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, that particular passage tells us we are going to have trials. How have we fared through the testing? You know, we have been grieved by the trials, but when we stand strong in him, notice what it said in that verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that what's happening? Or are you sitting back going, Lord, why am I in the middle of this? Why are these things going on? I didn't say you had to like it. Job didn't like it. Job even went and told the Lord, Lord, I don't like what's going on. I don't like being in this particular place. But no matter what, I am not turning my back on you. There are so many things that we can learn about Job's faith that can be instrumental in teaching you and I to be able to stand strong in our faith today. You know, so many times we have such weak faith in our society today. Now, why do I say that? Because I can't tell you how many times that I've talked to people who professed to know the Lord, and then what happens is some tough times happen in life, and then you follow up with them or you talk to them, and they're like, well, I tried that Jesus stuff, and it just didn't work out. You know, no, they felt like the Lord didn't answer their prayers the way they wanted them answered, and they did not stand the test of faith in such a way to be able to grow and stretch them, and therefore, in a lot of cases, they turned their back completely on God. Now, if there was a genuine salvation experience, I still believe they're saved, if there was a genuine conversion experience. If not, then that is one of the proof tests that there wasn't a genuine conversion experience. You just don't turn your back on God. Once you've tasted of His love and His mercy and His grace, you realize you are no longer yours, but you are His, and that God is sovereign, can do anything He wants, anytime He wants, to whomever He wants, and be justified in doing it. Then you begin to start sitting back. Instead of crying out, woe is me, you start to say, Lord, what are you teaching me through this situation? What are you teaching me through these painful situations? What are you teaching somebody around me through these situations? Because you know what? Sometimes the lessons that are learned are not just for you, but they're for other people in your life, your loved ones, spouses, children, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are your church members. There are many things that we can learn. Our faith can encourage other folks along the way. So what we need to do is we need to pray today for someone that we know who is going through a painful experience, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional, that his or her faith will grow through the trial. Can you pray for somebody like that today? Most of us know somebody who's going through a trial. Most of us, I hope and pray that we've been there for them in the midst of that trial, not necessarily trying to give advice all the time, but just having a hand on the shoulder or giving them a hug along the way and praying for them that they may learn through that painful experience and that their faith may grow through the trial that they've been going through or that they will be going through. So can we do that? That's what we're going to do here in just a moment. Let me go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be. Now, like I say, this one's not necessarily in consecutive order, so you might want to be sure that you write these down. Or if you're watching this on a replay, you can back up and get these passages. But what we're going to be looking at this week, our Bible readings will be Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 53, and Jeremiah chapter 1 and 7. So let me give those to you again. That's Isaiah 6, 40, and 53. And then in the book of Jeremiah, you'll be reading chapters 1 and 7. And next week, we will discuss our suffering servant out of the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close our time today. Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and thankful that you don't leave us nor forsake us in the midst of trials and tribulations that come our way in life. And Lord, today we pray for those who are going through painful experiences in their life. Lord, whether it's through physical pain that they're experiencing, whether it's through emotional pain of heartbreak in some way, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen them. Lord, that they would not turn their back upon you, but Lord, that their faith might grow through this trial, that you may see them through to the other side. And Lord, that they may have learned and drawn closer to you amidst the experience that they've had. So Father, right now, may you bless them in a special way. For those, Lord, who have been through the trials and experiences, maybe not experiencing one right now, may we truly be in the lives of our brothers and sisters what they need us to be, that shoulder to cry on, that kneeling figure that is praying for them to be able to learn the lessons that you need to teach each and every one of us through this time. Help us, Father, to be those shoulders for people, because, Lord, those shoulders represent you and not us. May we always keep in proper perspective the trials and tribulations that we go through. And, Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks, for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As I always say, if you happen to be in the area of Oak Ridge, North Carolina, we would love to have you come visit with us for our worship services on Sunday at 10:45 a.m. We would love to have you kick the new year off right, as we've got a few days behind us in the new year. Come join us. We would love to have you visit with us and become part of our family if God so leads you. But at any rate, may we truly be to the Master what He needs for us to be today, not only for Him, but also in the lives of our brothers and sisters. I pray that God's going to bless you, give you a great week, and may you be the shoulder of Christ to somebody who's going through those trials this week. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.